The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning, Pat.
Some interesting numbers about the geographical spread of motoring offences has become available.
Yeah, the Irish Independent was reporting on it, and the data comes from Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan in response to a parliamentary question last week. So we've got a lot of data on what driving offences were committed last year, what the regional differences are, and whether they're up, down or sideways. Now, the short version is the Irish Independent reports that driving offence convictions are up in 2024 versus 2023. And indeed they are, about 16,000 convictions nationally. But that number's a little bit clouded, Pat, because there's a big spike in detections of uninsured driving.
Why has that come about?
Well, it's from the start of last year, because, and we've spoken about this before, it was January of last year when the Garda insurance database became fully and properly available. In fact, it's been there for a while, but fully up and running from January of last year. And that meant an immediate increase in detections for driving without insurance. And they're spread around the country, but they're quite chunky.
Now, this is very interesting to me because I renewed my motor insurance last night. It's due at the end of the month. And it invited me, if I wanted to download my certificate and print it myself.
Yeah.
Which means that the Gardaí are not, they're not believing what they see on your windscreen anymore, because you could have printed it, copied it or manoeuvred it or whatever. So really what they're going on is your reg number.
Your reg number and the new Irish insurance database, which is working really well.
But that's the point.
It's really helpful.
Soon that paper disc will be gone, I suspect.
Yeah, I suspect. And again, you'll recall conversations that we had 10, 12 years ago when we were saying as the AA, get rid of the paper discs. They're worse than useless. They're not only failing to prevent fraud, they're actually facilitating it. Get rid of them. Go with the database. And we're there at long last. So back to the convictions. We're seeing a spike, but a lot of that is a mop-up, if you like,
of the uninsured.
If you take those out, we actually see a slight fall in things like drink driving, drug driving, careless driving. But in the broadest sense, it wouldn't be a standout year. You know, those behaviours are still there. And I think the more you get Gardaí out and about, the more detections you have.
Now, the big thing to look out for are the percentage changes, because obviously if you go to Dublin, huge number of motorists, therefore you're likely in absolute terms to get more offences. Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
But
it's
the increase in Dublin without insurance, it increased by a third. Mm. This is the mop-up effect again. Galway, a massive rise, 65%.
Yeah, that's a huge standout number, a 65% increase in uninsured driving in Galway. Now, of course, that's probably not what it is. It looks to me as if maybe the Gardaí had some sort of a special initiative or whatever it was, but certainly a lot of uninsured driving detections.
But the absolute numbers are quite low. 166 pops up to 263.
And again, we need to be a little bit careful just about sample sizes and the small. Mm. If you chop Ireland into its 32 counties, you know, the granularity is such that, you know, a small incident can look like a trend.
But still, at the same time, looking at Trim in County Meath, it goes from 171 to 272. That's a huge increase. Letterkenny, 172 to 193. 47 to 82 in Mullingar. And less significant, I suppose, 208 to 252 in Wexford.
Yeah. So you wonder, can we trust the data to tell us that, you know, Wexford is a black spot, Donegal is a black spot, they're worse in Galway than elsewhere in the country?
Or
I'm not sure we have enough data for that.
Or is this where the checks are?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe it's telling us where Garda activity is, because all other things being equal, we've said for a long time, we don't enforce enough in Ireland. Throw a big bit of enforcement and you will get an increase in detections. Like the bank holiday weekend just gone, for example, there were, 3,000 speeding detections. They seized 500 cars, a great flurry of activity. So maybe we're just seeing a map here of where the guards are active.
I want to put a conundrum to you. Mm. The total number of Garda arrests on suspicion of drink driving or drug driving, about 9,000 or 173 every week.
Yeah.
But for various reasons, a great many of those do not result in actual court convictions. Why?
Yeah. Bit disappointing, isn't it? Just under 9,000. I looked it up, I think it's 8,800 arrests on suspicion. Now,
does that mean you go down to the station and then when you do the blood test, you're clear? Is that it?
Well, or? If you're arrested on suspicion, you could, in theory, pass the blood. I think that's relatively rare. But there's a couple of things. Firstly, some of those legitimately disappear because they become administrative convictions. If you're only just over the drink drive limit, you can get penalty points in lieu of a conviction. So you might be arrested.
And what does that mean, just over?
Well, between 50 and 80. The old limit was 80 milligrams, you know, back in the day. We now have a 50 milligram limit, but between 50 and 80, you can accept penalty points instead of a disqualification. North of 80, it's a disqualification. Okay. So sorry to get a little bit wonkish for people listening, but some of those might be people who are just over the limit and get penalty points. But nevertheless, what it's telling us is that when a person is arrested for drink driving or for drug driving, in a lot of cases, it does not result in a successful conviction. So you kind of have to ask why. And that could be to do with chain of evidence, clever solicitors. It could be genuine natural justice. The guards didn't do their job right. It could be something procedural where you get off, you know, or of course it might be that the person is innocent. They might not have.
Or perhaps that the guard can't turn up in court on the day.
Yeah, that's what I say. It could be a procedural administrative injustice, if you like. But in terms of pure percentages, if I'm guilty of sin, if I'm stopped at a checkpoint and I'm drunk and my car is seized, roll the dice, I could still get off scot-free in court for one reason or another. And that's disappointing.
Now, other things we should note, that there are some places with higher rates than average of drink driving. Letterkenny, 122 cases last year. Tralee, 123. Cavan with 98.
Yeah, and again, we may be seeing where the guards are active. Do people in Donegal drink and drive more than people in Dublin?
We don't know.
I don't see any evidence that would genuinely support that. I'm just wondering,
are we talking about, you know, relatively rural urban areas where people have to go to a town to have a pint?
Yeah.
And then the guards know they've got to get home, so they know where to position the...
Yeah, absolutely. If you're in a town or city where there are public transport options, you can get a taxi if you're stuck. You're perhaps less likely to give in to a temptation and take a reckless risk. Whereas if your car is your only way home and you could walk 10 kilometres or take the car, the likelihood of you taking the risk is greater.
A pal of mine was stopped the other day in Dalkey, 11 o'clock in the morning, for a breathalyser. And he looked askance at her, and, you know, knowing he hadn't had a drink in whatever many hours, he blew heartily into the thing and passed with flying colours. But he said to her, "You must be joking." It was a female guard. "You must be joking, blowing people at 11 o'clock in the morning." And she said, "You'd be surprised."
Yeah.
There's
a couple of things. You would be surprised. They do occasionally catch people. I would contend that if somebody is drunk at 11 o'clock in the morning, what you've discovered there is an alcohol problem, really, rather than a road safety problem. But I'm not against the guards doing that. What I don't like, though, is when they concentrate on, you know, Tuesday afternoon checkpoints where you really, really want them at 1 o'clock in the morning in the pub car park and you don't see
them. I wonder, though, is that the guard, you know, the way they have to do a certain proportion of their shift now on traffic duty, is that where that comes from?
Maybe so. And again, you know, when you're looking at the wrong things, when you're having to comply with an internal metric, it sort of distorts you being effective on the ground, and you wouldn't like to see that.
Now, according to coroner data, 35% of driver fatalities between 2016 and 2020, this is where toxicology results are actually available, tested positive for alcohol. That's 35%.
Yeah.
And 70% during off-peak hours, that's 10 o'clock in the evening until 6 in the morning, which is what you expect. That's when people tend to drink, is at night. But any data on whether these fatalities are, and the alcohol contained therein, are to do with drivers, their passengers, or the victims? You know, be they cyclists or motorcyclists or pedestrians.
Yeah, you do have to be careful with the data. And that's actually Professor Dennis Cusack's team that conduct that analysis. And it's really, really useful. But if, for example, I'm looking in the data and here's a driver who died in a crash and was drunk, that doesn't necessarily mean that it was the alcohol that caused the crash. You know, of course, the driver is crazy high risk and breaking the law, but it doesn't mean we can be sure that that's actually why this crash occurred. So you've got to be a little bit careful in making assumptions.
And that's why I wonder, you know, the caricature of the person who's walking home without a high vis, without a torch, there's no footpath, and they've had a few pints.
Yeah.
And they are a fatality in a road traffic accident. And then they go down as someone who they, in theory, has fallen in the way of the oncoming traffic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe they didn't.
Yeah, and maybe the driver tested at 51 milligrams, which was legal in the relatively recent past, but it'll go down in the stats as drunk driver kills pedestrian. So, and again, to some degree, I don't mind, Pat, if we get the odd alarmist headline or we overstate something in the interests of pursuing good policy. But we're actually going to figure out, you know, the best policy treatments to get after this, you know, really fundamental long-term problem. And then, you know, we do have to be, and in fairness, Professor Cusack and his team are very careful and cautious with their data, even if, you know, subsequently...
But you'd like to see, and maybe it's available, a more forensic look at the nature of the victim, the fatality, and whether or not they were the driver, the passenger, or the pedestrian. Yeah.
And that does exist. And, you know, the good data leads to good policy because we can compare it across Europe and all that sort of good stuff. Yeah.
My son's car was impounded in Dublin as his insurance wasn't on the database, even though we had an email confirming. It took days to resolve. So no perfection yet.
Yeah, OK, it's not perfect. But then we never have lived in a perfect world. And it feels as if that person is the, you know, the subject of some pretty harsh summary justice and might be, you know, within their rights to feel a little bit miffed. Maybe you can pursue that with the insurance company, but the odd error is bound to occur.
The most dangerous spot on the roads in the country must be between Castlereagh and Williamstown in County Roscommon, which would explain why I passed two speed vans this morning within 5 minutes of each other. Talk about fish in a barrel. Oh, I know what's happening there. They used to do it on the way out to Shannon Airport. Mm. They'd have one car and you'd pass the car. You know, you'd be flashed by the oncoming traffic to tell you there's a speed trap ahead. So if you're disobeying the speed limit, you slow down, you pass the car. Then people speed up like crazy and there's another car around the corner.
So not so much fish in a barrel as caught red-handed. To be fair, where those locations are chosen from is derived from the collision database. Yeah. It's 5 years accident data, etc. So it's not a black spot because the guard says so. It's a black spot because the data says so. And that's important.
I drive the M4 regularly. The last 5 kilometres on the way back to Dublin has been under repair for some time and has a temporary speed limit of 80 kilometres per hour at the beginning of it and 60 kilometres per hour for a majority of it. But I could count on one hand the number of drivers who obey these temporary speed limits and tuck in behind me. Temporary speed limits seem to be ignored everywhere.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, they do need to be set properly. They have to be set correctly by bylaw. You very often find that at a given set of roadworks, they've put up a sign with 60 on it, but it has no legal basis. Also,
Is that right? They have no legal basis? Well, they're advisory, are they?
It depends on the set of roadworks and it depends on whether they've actually, you know, applied it correctly in law. But to be frank, often they don't bother, they just put up the sign. And the other thing is it can be difficult for the Gardaí to enforce. So, you know, we talk about finite resources allocation, etc. But for me, the most important thing to watch there is, are those spots proving to be dangerous in the collision database? And while they're not, I'm not too fussed about whether the speed limit there is technically correct or not. Now, maybe other people are, but from a pure road safety point of view, that's an anomaly that doesn't bother me too much, to be honest.
Yeah. Normally people, you know, when you've got streams of traffic, people drive at a limit they perceive to be safe.
Yeah, at a fluid and natural pace, that taking their cue from the engineering
also,
of the road.
Also, if you slow down in a situation like that, and I remember the N7 forever being done, if you slow down and try to observe, say, a 40-kilometre speed limit where there might be construction traffic crossing, but you can see there's none.
Yeah.
If you slow down to 40, you'll be honked and flashed out of existence.
And you will cause frustration behind you. And it's an unrealistic, non-smooth way to use the road. Yeah. So to some degree, all drivers are having to apply a little bit of common sense there. And yes, indeed, yes.
Conor Faulkner, a transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.